PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is apparently a full bag of head covers, Mr. Danny Lee of UST Mamiya, proud father of Link Power Core. What's up, my friend? Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dan. Appreciate having me on the show again.
Yeah, it's always a ton of fun. But there are a lot. So the interesting thing about having you on is everyone knows you from the Shaft Ups. You're on THP, supporting the community, which everyone absolutely loves. So it's not just about UST Mamiya. Now it's about Danny Lee. Like, what is Danny Lee doing? And to hear something like it's a full bag of head covers, we immediately have to dive into that, right? What has changed? Who are you?
Well, as you get older, it's just like it's weird. Like, golf has changed tremendously in terms of just ball flight. And like, man, you know, we have technology for a reason. There's clubs out there that will help you, you know, hit the ball a little higher. You know, I love the THP community. I love going in there and interacting with the forum members and seeing what, you know, what people are playing in the bag. And it's one of those things where, you know, you see stuff on tour, you see stuff with what the average golfers play with, and like, you know what, I need to test this stuff out. And so, you know, it actually happened doing a dormitory property at Briggs Ranch, when they were closed for the summer and they reopened, and then the rough was really thick, which I've never seen the rough that thick. And, you hit it in there, you couldn't get an iron out. And so, you know, I luckily had a 7-wood at the time, and I kept hitting out of the rough. I was like, wow, this is pretty crazy how easy it is to hit out of the rough and how easy it is to hit off of par threes, par fours. And so it just got me thinking about different things. Like, man, I can't hit a 5-iron anymore. The height I want, I was playing a 5 hybrid. So, you know, added a 9-wood into the bag. Then I was like, you know what? I can't hit a 6-iron either. Like, I can hit it straight, but I can't hit it the height I need. You know, it's my 180 club. So I added a 6 hybrid in there. So next thing you know, I'm looking at my bag. I'm like, that's a lot of freaking head covers. And so, you know, taking that technology and just rethinking how my bag should be set up for, you know, maximum efficiency. You know, the older I get, it seems like my swing, my ball flight has gone a lot lower. And so hitting into greens, and it's a lot of work, you know, with a 6 or 5 iron. And so now my longest iron is a 7-iron. And so it's pretty unique, and it's fun. I played with it for the past several months, and it's exciting in terms of what I think it can do when I start playing a little bit more golf.
That's wild. Well, I know you and a good friend of the show, James Miles, are in cahoots a little bit, as he's got a 9-wood in the bag now.
Yeah,
that he's absolutely preaching about. I'm on the other side of the spectrum where I'm trying to pull a 1-iron out of the bag. So like I'm starting at the top. But, you know, my games, well, you don't know, my games changed a lot over the last 6 months to the point where I actually get to enjoy some of these great creations that you guys have, especially things like Link, which has been years in the making, I guess, to get to this point. And I think it's definitely worth diving into, because what has stemmed from last year, what is built into this year, is now Power Core, which looks really interesting. I know THPers have had them in hand and have a lot of familiarity with the actual experience itself, but I'd love to start from the creation of Power Core and why it fits so well into the Link product.
Yeah, I mean, it's been exciting for us in terms of what we've seen over the past couple of years. You know, obviously we launched Link several years ago in several different iterations. I would consider this the third generation of the Link product, but we took a step back and looked at what worked well in those other products and what we could do better with Link Power Core. And one of those things that we, you know, wanted to do was validate with the average golfer, which we did with the TH community in 25. You know, they were basically the first adopters of the product. We were able to test and saw really good results when we were doing the Shaft Up events, and getting these golfers into Link Power Core was really eye-opening for myself, just being able to dial people in through the three different profiles that we had with white, blue, and red, and trying to characterize the different profiles in terms of, you know, obviously it's always about launch and spin, but then is it more about like what it feels for the golfer? What is it doing for the golfer in terms of face closure, you know, misses? And that's kind of a result of, you know, doing some prototypes that we did a couple of years ago that Josh and I have tested and that I play. Through those results, we were able to incorporate some stuff into Link Power Core and incorporate a lot more of the Q material, which has a lot of benefits to golfers, you know. So that in itself was eye-opening for us, and all 25, you know, we tested on tour. These guys, you know, said the same thing. It feels good. It's super stable. My launch window, but the delta on the launch, the delta on the spin was incredibly tight, and which was really cool to see, right? So, and we saw that with THP or when we did all the events in 25. And like I said, you know, it's cool to have a community where I'm able to interact one-on-one with them and be able to dial them in, and then for them to be able to provide feedback to us and the community, and, you know, look forward to what 26 holds, but it's been very good so far this year.
Yeah. I want to back up just a little bit to talk about a proto shaft that was in the hands of a bunch of the staff last year. And it slowly made its way into a couple THPers' hands. It was this insane thing that no one could really understand, that when you waggled it, it felt like you were holding on to something close to an al dente pasta noodle, but then you swing it and it was like super stiff. So, yeah. You know, I think what I want to, I feel like we've talked about that specific shaft before, but yep. What I'd love to do is just talk about how out of the box that kind of concept was and how important doing things like that are to better understand the performance benefits and the structured benefits of the things you guys are trying to implement over there. What is it like to incorporate stuff like that that's so out of the norm, and how does that help you get to a product point in the future?
Yeah, first, you know, the main thing is, you know, we're trying to do things that, you know, honestly has never been done in golf in terms of the shaft side. You know, people are like, oh, this is kind of like a, you know, a super soft shaft. Why don't you do like a helium or a lightweight shaft? But that product is totally different, right? This was a 60 gram, super, super soft shaft, like you said, like a very soft noodle, but very stiff in the tip side. We're using super high modulus material. So the cool thing about what we were able to do is we can control shaft stiffness across the entire shaft. We can make it as soft as we want. We can make it as stiff as we want. And what we wanted to do was like, man, if we wanted to do something very soft, so that way the golfer generates a little bit more speed, but at the same time has a lot of stability in the tip side, where we think that's very important in terms of, you know, controlling dispersion and where it goes and keep it in play. And that's where this thing came about. And, you know, some people ask me like, well, why didn't you make it in a 40 or 50 gram shaft, you know, to benefit that segment? But it's like, the reality is that sometimes we can't make something lightweight, but super stiff in the tip with lower torque. We have to have a certain condition in terms of the weight where it needs to be in order to get the profile that we're looking for. Again, this is just one of those things we're playing around with, you know, like, we also have another shaft on tour right now that is basically a triple X, right? You know, what is that for? It's for the guys that maybe swinging 125, 130 miles per hour, that these guys can swing a lot harder now. And so that's another shaft we have out there. So we have like two end of the spectrums, basically getting feedback and trying to, you know, develop products that fit majority of golfers, right? And that's where, you know, the initial prototypes that you guys tested was kind of crazy. I still play it to this day. I love it because it helps me with launch and helps me with dispersion, at least for my swing profile. And everyone's different, right? You know, so, you know, Josh, on the other hand, is very steep and across the line, and he still loves it, and he's able to keep it in play. So, you know, I hit way up on the ball, hits way down on the ball and cross, and it works for both of us.
Is torque like the key ingredient to convincing people that a shaft will work for them?
I think it's one component. It depends on what the golfer's feeling at impact that really affects what is going to perform for them. So it's one of those things where, again, it, you know, hey, you know, this shaft is going to fit you. Like when I interact with the TH Grand Forum, people send me, you know, PMs and ask me like, hey, do you think this shaft works for me? You know, and then as it becomes a serious question and it's a generalization of what I think that particular golf will fit into. Now, is it going to be perfect? No, but it's a general guideline. Ultimately, the golfer will dictate like, oh yeah, this, yeah, I can't control this. I can't feel the head. When I hit impact, I'm all over the map on this. So then it becomes like a question, you know, more questions and fine tuning it to get that golfer dialed in. So torque is one component of it. Honestly, unnecessary component for the driver, just because you're mainly hitting off the tee. Now, if you're talking about like an iron shaft, for example, and you're hitting out of the rough, I think torque is more important. You know, you want a little bit tighter torque there. But, you know, for off the tee and in the fairways and stuff like that, I think torque becomes less as important versus other components, whether it's butt stiffness or the midsection or the tip section, which controls launch spin and stuff like that.
I'm going to ask you another loaded question. Let's see how you land on this one. Do you think shaft fit is underthought as a whole, but then do you think the perfect shaft fit is overthought?
Yes, to both. I mean, everyone thinks the shaft is going to control so much of it. It's a mechanism which helps deliver the club head consistently to the golf balls as much as possible, right? Whether it's a counterbalance shaft, whether it's a heavier shaft, whether it's a lightweight shaft, there's a lot of different variables in terms of, you know, transition, how the golfer loads the golf ball, loads the golf shaft, you know, what type of length they're playing, how heavy is the head? Do they want to feel the head? Do they want to feel, you know, don't want to feel the head? So there's all these different questions that you can ask a golfer that, you know, will benefit them in terms of finding the right combination, which will, you know, again, get that launch and spin window, at least from a driver standpoint, to maximize carry, maximize distance. And then, yeah, like you said, the opposite is true too. Like guys that like, oh my God, the shaft is the be all. And yeah, without this shaft, I'm not able to perform as well as I can. Right. And I think that's just a combination of a 10 degree head, 9 degree head, you know, like the shaft is there to fine tune that launch window, that spin window, and to fine tune the efficiency that you get from the shaft head combination.
Yeah, it's one of those things I think is really curious, because you talked about supporting TH peers and trying to answer the questions as best as you can. I think that just having casual conversations with people, even with being somewhat knowledgeable, somewhat dangerous with the shaft technology, it's like you can answer every question you want, but my concern always ends up being we can fit you into a window, but it's not going to be the window that it works for me. And my experiences with a shaft, no different than taste, is going to be slightly different than your experiences, because the way you load the ball is probably different, unless we're both swinging perfectly on plane Adam Scott style, which is pretty unrealistic. And, you know, I think that's one of the real challenges that I've seen a lot of people have. It's like they chase the most popular thing going, and oftentimes it comes at their own detriment. Is that frustrating for you to follow?
Yes, it is. But at the same time, you know, we like to, you know, play around with different equipment and toys and stuff like that. You know, I've seen people where like, man, you need a 13 degree driver. Like, what? I can't, there's no way I can hit a 13 degree driver. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. Or, you know, the opposite is true too. Like, oh, I need an 8 degree driver. What? Like what? There's no way. I don't have the speed for that. It's like, no, it's the numbers dictate what you need. Right. And then you go from there. And then the reason some of these prototypes come up was, you know, like years ago, one of our guys that work with Long Drive Guy, you know, he does a lot of fitting on the side too. And he would get these senior golfers in that don't swing, you know, out of their shadow. And he put them in their 48 inch shaft. And these people are also hitting the ball very efficiently, even though that shaft is maybe a triple X, right? Back in the day when long drives were really stiff shafts. Now it's the opposite, right? It's a noodle that these guys are swinging out there. But that was kind of eye-opening. Like, whoa, you know, you have this 70-year-old lady now hitting a 48-inch triple X driver longer than they were hitting their, you know, 44-inch 40-gram shaft.
Right? You're saying this right, 48 inches?
Yeah. Like, you know, that's when it was legal, you know, back in the day. Now it's, you know, now the USGA and RNA, it's 46-inch. But, you know, 48-inch, like, but, you know, triple X shaft, like, whoa, okay, this doesn't make any sense. But, you know, the way they deliver the club head, it made sense for them. And they're all of a sudden, like, their numbers are better. Now, you know, that's a cool thing about having technology, right? You know, GC Quad and TrackMan or whatever launch monitor you're looking at, you can see the numbers. You're like, oh, holy cow, this works, you know?
So, is that like one of those shaft designs or shaft situations where it's almost like it's not even worth putting the flex code on it? Like it would do more damage to know what the flex code is rather like maybe just give it a nickname or something like that?
Yeah, I think flex is fine. I think it becomes a point of the fitter to be able to dial them in and explain, right? I think if they are able to explain why they're putting in this, you know, I think majority of golfers are like, well, yeah, I'll play anything as long as I can hit it straight and long, or, you know, I can't hit, you know, one more fairway around. And that's the thing, right? You got to keep expectations realistic. And that's, you know, I have this conversation all the time when we do events with Josh. I'm like, man, this guy's expectation of making birdies, like, you know, you're a 15 handicap and you're expecting to make, you know, 2-3 birdies around. Like, man, I'm a 2 handicap. I'd love it to make one birdie around, you know. It's just expectations, right, versus reality.
Interesting. When you do these and when you see the decisions that are made pre-fit, is there one consistently surprising element that exists in some of these bags that you fit into that you see what they're playing and then what you get fit into? And is there any common trend there?
Yeah, usually it's they play a lot softer, a lot lighter weight products. And so, you know, and that's obviously a result of really the golf business. Hey, you need more speed or you need lighter weight, control the lightest and softest shaft possible. But sometimes that's not the case, right? Again, every individual is kind of different in terms of how they swing. And so I see it all the time. Like they're playing a 50 gram regular flex or 50 gram stiff when they really need a 60 gram stiff flex, a different profile, maybe a lower launch profile. Again, the numbers dictate it, right? And they go based on what they think and what they read online should work for them. But the reality is that, you know, if you're swinging a certain way, you're always going to produce that result. And so you need something that's going to counteract that result and make it more efficient, make it lower launch, lower spin, or higher launch, higher spin, right? It really depends. It's always like irons. I always see it all the time. People play these game improvement, super game improvement irons. They need more launch and spin all the time just because the way the head are designed, right? And so it's a battle to kind of fine tune that individual to get them dialed in as much as possible with launch and spin.
You know what I like about that comment is it's not like you're making that argument to fit outside your lineup because you guys have helium, you have an understanding of light is valuable in some cases.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I just think that adds a little bit of value to a little bit of context to the conversation. It's not like you're saying, well, we don't make it, so of course you don't need it type of thing.
Yeah, no.
And the other part of it is the industry has had a lot of outspoken conversation about lighter is better for a very long time. I feel like it's probably more in the iron side of things, but there's definitely been a shift as technology's improved from metal woods to go lighter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously, I've been around golf long enough where, you know, steel shaft was a standard. 125 gram shaft wasn't a driver, right? Now it's the standard is probably 50 to 60 gram is what your standard driver shaft is, and so half the weight, you know, and you know people are hitting it just as crooked as before, right? It's not like it comes down to how can we fine tune it to, hey, now you're hitting 6 fairways around instead of 4 fairways around, right? You gotta you know, have that mentality when you're either fitting or being fit. Like, wow, what's my goal here?
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is, hey, instead of me slicing it 50 yards, I'm gonna slice it 30 yards. it's still going to happen. You know, and that's the reality of any fitter. Yeah. How do we get them to get that dispersion, whether it's, you know, tighter? Hey, I hook the ball. How do I hook it less? Right. Or I slice the ball. How do I slice it less? You know, like, you know, you have all these different type of heads, different loft combinations, different shafts and stuff like that, where we can try to help you out as much as possible.
You mentioned something about switching heads altogether. I would assume, and this has always been really funny to me, you put a 10-5 head in someone's hands, but then tune it up 2 degrees, so it's really a 12-5 head. It gets them out of that thing where there's no way they're going to play the 12-5, but they'll certainly play the 9-5 plus 2 or the 10-5 plus 2.
That's a funny thing. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is. Some people, like, you know, do I play 9 degree, crank it up to 10.5, 11 degrees, or do I play 10.5 and crank it down? I think it's individual, like how they see the face and how they like the look of the face, right? Whether it's shut, whether it's square, whether it's open. You know, obviously when you impact loft at 10.5 and you crank it down, the face is going to be more open. And so some people like that, some people don't, you know, and it's also start direction. So there's a lot of different factors that will result in, like, either a 9, 10.5, you know, 12 degree head, hitting up on the ball, hitting down the ball, you know, how long you play the shaft, what kind of shaft, what weight flex and stuff like that. That all factors in the delivery of the club head to impact launch and spin, right? And that's the cool thing about launch monitors. You can see that. And you see that with real live data, right?
Yeah. Has that helped you guys? Has it made it easier? How accessible that info is?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's also made it harder too. You know, like, again, you know,
the knowledge base or what?
Yeah. Like you mentioned earlier, like, some guys are, like, just geeked out over certain numbers. Like, man, I got to hit this number, this window. I'm like, why? Right? Mm-hmm. Are you a robot? Are you hitting this, like, over and over? Like, you know, we got to set expectations. Reality, you know, needs to set in at a certain point. But, you know, it's cool to see the numbers and, but we need someone to be able to share that number with them and explain why these numbers are happening. And then, like, this is going to happen, you know? So
we got off on a tangent, which is, like, one of my favorite things to do, but it's also a part of your stories. We spend a lot of time following along with your experience with THPR. So it's always nice to sort of wrap it up a little bit. But I do want to go back to PowerCore, because I think more people should get to know it a little bit. Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting things, and I know this is very surface level stuff, but I think it does matter a lot, especially when people see it, is the presentation. So when Link first came out, it had these absolutely incredible looking finishes on it. Some gunmetal, there's a purple, there's a blue. And now we have this this block out, which has the white on it with the Link pretty clearly represented. The differences in the launch models are pretty limited.
Yep.
Is that a fitting centric decision? What made you guys go in that route?
Yeah, for sure. It's one of those things where it just, like, how do we keep the look the same throughout all three profiles, you know, without, you know, making it crazy looking? We want it to look similar, the same, but different. So that's where the launch and spin window chart came about, where now we're able to put it onto the shaft. You keep the link logo, the Link graphics the same across all three different profile, but now you have this launch and spin window on there, which then a golfer who's at a retail shop can look and, like, oh, this is a low launch, low spin shaft. It's right on there. It's easy. They don't have to ask anyone any questions. And it's like, oh, and, you know, obviously the colors tie in, but some people don't know that. So it was kind of pretty cool to be able to do something like that, where when you see it on tour, when you see it on THP, it's like, oh, that's a Link PowerCore. Now, what model it is, I don't know, but I know it's a Link PowerCore. And then from there, the fitter's like, oh, yeah, this is a white, this is a blue, and this is the red. And the white here clearly states low launch, low spin, blue, mid launch, mid spin, and red, high launch, high spin. So it becomes a fitting story. But the visibility of the product for us was very important. You know, it's kind of a nod to our V2 shaft, where you had those kind of distinct profiles. So you kind of see that section out there, that block. So it's kind of nice and visible, and a lot of good feedback from all the OEMs, all the club companies, all the THP forum, and what we see in social media. People love the product. People love the look of it.
Well, let's talk about PowerCore and why it matters. You have new technology. It is it a Q-ply?
It's a combination of PowerCore. It's really the nano resin matrix we have with the Q material, which we apply to the tip and then the tire shaft, which benefits a couple of things. You know, obviously you hear it all the time with different shaft manufacturers, but we talk about hoop strength, hoop stiffness, basically. The Q material helps decreases ovalization, which is, you know, when you think about the shaft on the butt side, if you have a thin wall product, we're trying to keep it as oval as product from during the bending process. You know, obviously when you swing the shaft, when you swing the club, the head's the heaviest part of the club, so it bends in the direction of the club head. And we're trying to keep the ovalization as minimal as possible to return maximum energy transfer to the golf ball. So what we saw when we started doing initial testing was very, very efficient ball speeds from compared to club head. So, you know, we were seeing a lot of 147, 148, 149, 150 numbers that were like, whoa, okay, that's pretty cool. So that's just really the, you know, measure of efficiency compared to swing speed and ball speed, right? Swinging 100 miles per hour, typically you want to see maximum efficiency of, you know, 150 miles per hour, 1.5. So we're seeing that. What it also does is it improves the Q material along with the power core. It improves torsional stability. So what I read and what I heard a lot when people were hitting it off the toe, off the heel, low, high, whatever it might be, the improved torsional stability of the material that we incorporated into Link Power Core works really well, so that now the shot dispersion is even tighter. So you get maximum efficiency from the Q material, the ovalization, and the improved torsional stability from the nano resin matrix and the power core. So all that combined, you're seeing launch window, spin window, very tight delta, but you're also seeing maximum efficiency with the ball speed that's coming out.
So I saw a really great visual on your Instagram showing a lot of really narrow, I guess you'd call them fibers, running in a bunch of different directions, some straight down the shaft, some in a sort of crisscrossing pattern. I mean, is that part of the component that goes into it? Or
yeah, for sure. Like, you know, there's different materials. Like you can put it at 0, 90, 45, negative 45, and there's also different angles and stuff like that. So what's cool about, you know, utilizing PowerCore is that, you know, we're able to put on the 90-degree ply. And it increases basically the shear stability and load transfer, which is basically for us, it acts like a binder to keep the zero plies aligned under bending. So it's really cool. So just very stable product overall. Mm. So that's the cool thing about PowerCore is that that you get everything and you get the feel too as well. That's one component too that's often overlooked is the feel side of it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can, you know, for tour guys, we can make it, you know, super stiff, but then, you know, the feedback sometimes they say is like, oh, this feels kind of boardy, but they go with it because they see the results. So now what we can do is, hey, they see the results and then they're like, this feels good. There's no way it's going straight. Looks up, it's straight, shot after shot after shot. And so you get the consistency, the dispersion that they're looking for and the feel that they crave on a product.
Okay.
And so, which is cool with the power core, which allows us to do all that.
So how challenging is it getting to create these incredibly intricate, different or multi-directional, would you even call them flags or just positions of your material?
It's a combination of how we lay up, you know, whether it's flags, tip flags, whether it's, you know, tip hojo, you know, where we apply the, in different sections of the shaft, midsection, but you know, whether to get the counterbalance on the butt side. So there's different things we could do to achieve what we want to achieve in terms of a golf shaft. You know, does it get harder and harder? Sure it does. But I think ultimately what makes it fun is we're able to do a ton of different prototypes and get feedback from golfers, right? Mm. I think that's more important than just designing a shaft for a certain way. Like you can design a shaft and you can take it out there and like, oh, this is a dud. Like it's not going to work. And that's why you keep designing new products over and over. Just, you know, like what did we change the tip flag? What did we change the material in the tip flag? What did we do this in the midsection? What did we change the material? where do we change the layup? What do we change, you know, like how the shaft, the material is oriented, whether it's, you know, plus minus 45, plus minus 40 degrees, zero, 90, like all these different things where you can change on a graphite shaft. You can have the same spec, but it will perform totally different in the golfer's hand.
Hmm. What about material overall? Because I know M40X is a big story point. In terms of tinkering with new material, things that haven't really been explored, how often do you see stuff like that? And are you seeing any sort of breakthroughs in the last year or two?
Yeah, I mean, there's always different materials that we're testing. You know, I work with the engineers closely and our composite team to source and find new materials outside of golf, whether it's in the, you know, aerospace industry, whether it's in biking, tennis rackets, you know, like what are they using that material for, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. I play tennis. I still keep up with tennis. So I follow tennis closely, and the stuff they incorporate into the tennis racket is pretty cool. And so what are they, you know, utilizing that material for? You know, is it for stability? Is it for feel? Is it for energy transfer? Like, you know, Mizuno just launched these new tennis rackets. Like, there's some cool stuff there. You know, they talk about the materials they utilize. And so I think they're a little bit more forward facing in terms of technology and material usage. You know, like, for example, we found smack wrap in utilizing bikes, bike frames, and also cabins of airplanes to dampen noise, dampen vibration. And so we thought that'd be a cool material to bring in for the average golfer that hits it all over the face, right? Make the club head feel a little bit softer overall, even though they're hitting off the toe, heel, low, high, right? Try to change the frequency at which, you know, when it hits their hands, it feels better. So, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's some cool materials that right now we're looking at. We're applying to golf shafts right now as we speak at our factory to test. You know, it's some copper stuff that we're incorporating, try to move CG a little bit on the shaft. Is that going to affect feel? Maybe, maybe not. Is it going to affect hoop stiffness? Maybe, maybe not. Like all these different things where we can get the materials in, just test it. And you know, once it gets approved from our factory, we do player testing. And that's this, you know, the first event that we will have at Arbor Links, Shaft Up number one. There will be several prototypes that I am bringing out there for these guys to be able to hit and get feedback, right? You know, so it's cool that I have an audience that understands golf and able to provide feedback to have the next generation of Link Power Core, next generation of whatever product we decide on.
That's pretty cool. Talking about the vibrational side of things is interesting because, you know, my mind goes pretty much straight to like tensile strength and, you know, durability or resistance to twisting. But like there's it's sort of an unfair world that you guys live in because you can't control how the grips are made and you can't control how the heads are made. You're stuck connecting the dots between a player's hands and the quality of the contact on the head you didn't design. So, you know, that's a pretty wild world to live in. And the idea that you're chasing like all these different avenues, I think it's really cool. I think it's not talked about enough.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I mean, they, you know, we're one of many shaft companies, right? Several shaft companies. We've been doing it for a long time since 1991. So we have a lot of engineers here. So it's really cool to be able to, you know, talk to them and get feedback on what they think will work and stuff like that. And, you know, from my side, you know, developing products is just like, hey, you know, we got to, you know, the engineer might be like, yeah, this won't do anything, but ultimately the golfers will decide if it does anything. And more times than not, the golfers are like, yeah, this feels different, right? Good. Okay. Does it feel good? Does it feel bad? Right. So there's this engineering world where, okay, this product is, they're all going to be real similar, but when we actually test it, the results are wildly different from what the engineers thought. Right. So that's why you got to continually develop products, continually find new materials and continue to test with golfers, because ultimately they're swinging. They're not swinging like a robot. That's why we do not put any, you know, shaft on a robot, because it provides no feedback to us whatsoever.
Interesting. I did see that the Link went into hybrid, and I'm curious how that transition worked, and what makes you stop at like a hybrid versus carrying it. I mean, this goes for pretty much any shaft. Like there's a real standing point with recoil in the irons, but like how hard is it to take a driver design or wood design and bring that into a hybrid or a long iron or, you know, mid iron?
I think if you think about woods versus hybrids, I would say they're real similar, then they are different, right? I think irons, when you get into irons, I think it's a completely different monster. Because, you know, with irons, you're really hitting it, a lot more down on the golf ball. So I think it becomes two different things, right? And typically hybrid shafts are going to be, that transition. So I think it's easier to design, keep that wood profile into the hybrids. I think the iron profile is slightly different. You know, driving irons, I think, are slightly different. So I think that becomes I think for most people, like a transition point, where, you know, the 75, 90 gram shaft, 100 gram shaft with a wood shaft, it's easier to design that way.
Interesting. Any new progressions on the iron side of things, or are we pretty locked in
for sure? Always working on new stuff right now. We got some new stuff coming out for 27. Can't share with you yet, but
can't
both. How about that? Both.
Well, I tried everyone.
Yeah, but you know, it's always a struggle to, you know, where do we go from, you know, the first generation of recoil product was very successful to what it is now. I mean, you know, we shipped over 9 million units of recoil in some form or fashion since we introduced it in 2013. It's really, it's been a crazy, pretty much last 13 years of recoil that we've killed it with that product. And we're continually evolving it and trying to, you know, fine tune it, make it a little bit better. Currently right now we got recoil dart HDC, high density carbon, you know, in basically 70, 80 gram. That was in the Apex program and other various programs through different club companies. And then we got recoil dart, 90, 105, a little bit better player category. So that's been around for a couple of years now. So, trying to fine tune as much as possible, whether it's through material incorporation or there's through different design philosophy. A lot of it is design philosophy. How do we make it more stable over time, and how do we keep it the feel the same as before?
Interesting. Yeah. I find it curious that there are some shafts, and US Team Amiya is no example or no slouch to this, but like they just withstand the test of time. Probably a little bit easier on the wood side of things, but I mean, there are iron shafts out there that haven't really fundamentally changed in a long time, but have somehow continued to make their way into bags. But I'm curious about that because recoil seems to have had a really positive progression and a really sensible progression. Is there any discussion where you just like take that and go somewhere else with it and let recoil be? Or is it just always an understanding that each time we make these iterations, just making it fundamentally better?
That, I mean, really, ultimately, anytime we're introducing a product, we're trying to make it better than the one was previous before. And that's just through feedback from our customers. Customers like, Callaway, Ping, TaylorMade, Titleist, all these guys provide feedback to us. And then, that's why we invest heavily in THP and other golf forums. Like, we need feedback from the everyday golfer too, right? And so we take that and apply it to golf shaft, and how can we make it better? Is it by making it heavier? Is it by making it lighter? Is it by making it stiffer, softer? Utilization of different materials, utilization of different philosophy in terms of how we design the shaft. So you know, like each iteration, we're trying to minimize how much we do in that shop, but at the same time, incorporate what we understand fundamentally from all the golfers out there.
Yeah, I want to run circle back to PowerCore one more time since we keep jumping off it, but we haven't really talked about tour success and where it's thriving out there. I think it's a curious question. I don't know how much you're allowed to say or you can say, but it does seem like there is a lot of presence on the many tours.
Yeah, I think that's just a result of, you know, a product being successful. You know, when we introduced it to tour as a prototype in 25, full launch this year, you know, I think it had some luck to do with it as well. You know, we signed an ambassador in Ben Griffin. He won 3 times on the PGA Tour, jumped into, you know, top 10 in the world at that point. Ryder Cup, a lot of story written about him. So, you know, he won 3 times, and you know, guy that went from working several years ago, real job, to coming back and trying to play golf and winning and having success out on PGA Tour, you know, validated the product. And now, you know, fast forward to this year, we have some big names playing it. You know, Ricky Fowler playing it, and Driver, 5-wood, building some 7-woods to test and hybrids and stuff like that. Sahith Theegala playing in Driver, you know, because the success of other guys. Ben obviously playing with it. Multiple other PGA players, you know, and, you know, Korn Ferry. We have a ton of play on Korn Ferry as well. We've had 2 wins this year on Korn Ferry. So we're seeing success of the product. And these guys out there, when they see success, they talk about it with their peers, which is, you know, obviously PGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour players. So a lot of good buzz on both tours. And, you know, again, the feedback has been phenomenal in terms of when we do testing. It's just, we win a lot of tests out there, which is kind of cool. And we're just continued, you know, day by day and week by week, month by month, just try to keep getting Lake PowerCore in play.
I love it. Share a little bit, if you don't mind, about expectations on Shaft Up this year. How many hearts are you going to break? How many minds are you going to blow? What's the plan? How many Modelos will you enjoy? What's the goal here?
The goal is always to have fun and get the THP community involved and obviously get these, the guys, the 6 participants dialed in. Hopefully they're dialed in after the event's over. You know, obviously Callaway Quantum drivers, I mean, that's pretty cool, right? Paired up with Link PowerCore. Again, it could be Link PowerCore. It could be some other brand products. So there's going to be a ton of shafts that we have out there that we're going to be testing. And whatever wins out, right? Based on the launch monitor, based on the feedback from the participants. So expect, you know, majority of the golfers to have pretty good gains. Expect, you know, better dispersion. Expect good feel. And then obviously expect a good time. You know, like you said, we're going to be able to, you know, they're able to spend time one-on-one with me. So, you know, questions, we'll have a Q&A. The first night probably, or second night, really depends on how the schedule will work out, but Q&A, and I'll dive more into the Link PowerCore story, kind of the background and really the technology behind that product. And then, you know, the nights and the golfing time to ask questions about, you know, whatever they have. That's what I'm there for, is to interact one-on-one with them and answer as many questions as possible.
The first one's got to be coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it's coming up sometime in May.
That's at Arbor Links,
yeah, cool. In Nebraska. It's a phenomenal golf course. You know, it's a really good golf course to test out drivers. So it's pretty neat. Like a lot of the holes are able to, you know, they're pretty wide open. So able to grip it and rip it. And so looking forward to that, and you know, sharing some good stories, some BS, and sharing some Modelos with the guys, and we'll go from there.
I love it. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on as always. Always super interesting to hear what's going on with you guys. And I think the privilege that a lot of us have, especially who are tuned into the THP community, is we see a lot of this firsthand. I mean, there's discussion all throughout the year about testing, and the excitement is usually leading the charge over there. So, you know, I do appreciate you connecting the community in that way, and not beating us up too bad when we come with big expectations to win out against you and Josh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I expect no one to win against us, so we'll figure it out after the fact.
Any final thoughts today or heckling you want to do before we wrap it up?
Yeah, yeah. Go USA. You know, USA hockey, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to throw that in. I know it's kind of I'm pretty sure it's healed by now, but, you know, why don't we open it up again?
Those wounds never heal, for the record. of all things, I think hockey is probably the only one that is still a real challenge for me to not adapt my mostly American heritage now at this point. So
Yeah, no. You know, obviously the Masters are approaching, so looking forward to, you know, watching some golf and actually start playing golf again. Usually starting April is when I start playing again. You know, we already talked about it a little bit earlier, but it's been a good winter for us actually. But you know, with the kids and just activities and stuff like that, it's not conducive for me to play any golf. And now it's slowing down for the kids. So I'm kind of excited about playing golf again.
That's for work. You have to do it, right?
Exactly.
All right, my friends, if you are out playing this weekend, have fun. Go check out Link Power Core from UST Mount Mia. Everyone's talking very positively about it. And if you want a deeper dive into it, check out one of the shaft ups that go live on the THP community. And we heckle them as they go and try and take down our JB and this Danny. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, THP crew, Don Brown, VP of Innovation, back here at Shaft University, answering another question. This week's question is about Titan and Hazardous and how they compare, and not just the eye profile, which we've talked about a bunch already. Titan's got that much softer handle than the Hazardous. The question was about the performance differences. Actually, both these shafts are low launch and low spin. The main difference you're gonna have is in the feel. Because we've got that softer handle in the Titan, you're gonna be able to load it a little bit more, but it's still gonna feel really stable, as opposed to Hazardous, which you can't load at the handle because it's a telephone pole and it feels like a bit of a board. So it's a nice little hybrid there. You got a very stout feeling shaft. You can swing it as hard as you want, but with the Titan, you can actually load it a little bit more. Hope that helps. Talk to you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.